session number 26757, Reel 1.
John or Ewing, Reel 1. Could we start a little bit by talking about when and where you were born?
I was born in Wimbledon in 1920, in my grandparents' house, I think. And my parents, my father, had already gone to Palestine as a missionary in Jerusalem. And I followed as a small baby with my mother and elder sister towards the end of the year. I lived the next 7 years of my life in Jerusalem as a small boy, going to two schools there. And finally, I, myself, came back to this country in April 1928 to go to boarding school in England.
What school did you go to?
Prep school, St. Clair Warmer, down here on the Kent coast, which was one of the 10 oldest prep schools in England, but sadly closed in the Second World War. Good school, though. We were very well taught.
And you mentioned earlier that you did officer training, officer...
That's when I went to public school, to Monkton Combe,
right.
Bath. My father had by this time been appointed consultant physician in Bristol, actually in 1934, which is when I started at Monkton Combe as a boarder at the senior school and did 5 years there. I was in the OTC at school. Perhaps I was keener than some. Anyway, I rose to being the under-officer. I also got on extremely well with the master in charge, who was a typical old-fashioned master in many ways, who taught me history as well, but we became great friends for the rest of his life. And no doubt that was partly due to that. He actually spent Christmas 1961 with us in Lusaka.
So you were at school until...
1939.
And from where did you go after that?
I went to Cambridge, Queen's Cambridge, for a year. Then I joined up in 1940. I was attested in 1939. They said go to the university for a year, which I did. I was called up the Cheshire Regiment in September 1940, and we were based at the Dale Barracks, Chester. They were machine guns, Vickers machine guns, not infantry. Had 3 months there, got through the Octu board, and went to 170 machine gun Octu in Droitwich in December that year. Machine gun Octu was 5 months, whereas an ordinary infant Octu was 3 months. So it was a much longer time for us.
And what sort of weapons were you using on the machine gun course?
It was the Vickers machine gun. Of course, we did use ordinary rifles a bit, but it was training for the Vickers machine gun, which even then was becoming obsolete, quite honestly. I never saw a Vickers machine gun ever from the day I was commissioned. Never saw one once. So I spent extra 2 months training for nothing. I've always felt it probably saved me from having gone to some of the very difficult parts for fight, because I wasn't commissioned till the May.
Did you do other sorts of specialist training at all that may have...
No, just the ordinary Octu training, really, which was a lot of infantry stuff as well, but it was specialising in the Vickers machine gun.
And how did you find the routine of army life, joining that from university?
I never minded that. I think because I'd been at boarding school, I was a fairly conformist sort of chap at school. I was head of my house, so I was never unhappy. I had 11 years of boarding school. I enjoyed every year immensely. Not many can say that. I was thoroughly happy at boarding school.
And did you find that the officer training that you'd done at, that you'd been given at public school, was that of any
use
at all?
Great help. Great help. Oh, yes, yes.
Sort of things, what was the training like at school?
It was very good. I mean, Lace, who was in charge of the officers, cadet corps at Monkton, he was very good. He'd been in just in the 1418 war, and he was a very conscientious chap, and it was very good training. Yes, it was. I think most who are with me would agree that if you were interested and took it seriously, you got good training.
What sort of training was it you received?
Well, it was with the rifle particularly, and not real brain guns, but they were a makeshift, pretend machine gun. But we learnt all sorts of field craft and everything like that. It was quite a lot of shooting at school too. That was nothing to do with that, but I was quite keen on rifle shooting too. I did quite a bit of that at school, so I wasn't a person who was anti OTC at school at all, quite honestly. No. And we had it twice a week, which is quite a lot for a school. Many had it only once a week, but you had virtually had to go to the summer camps unless you could find a very good reason for not going. And you had to join the OTC virtually unless you could show that you were a not fit chap at all, or your parents happened to be conscientious objectors. Otherwise, virtually everybody was in the OTC at school. Very high percentage.
Then to move forward again, so you went to Optu and then carried on with machine gun training. But what happened to you next?
Next, actually, I went for 1 month to Gosport. I think they were wondering what to do with us. And I started to do a Morse code training course, which I enjoyed immensely. But just for 4 weeks. And then several of my Octu as well. Those going to the Argyles anyway, we went up to Stirling after 1 month in Gosport. I was sorry we didn't finish that the other signals training, because I was enjoying it immensely. But anyway, I went up to Stirling.
Did that prove useful later? Or you supplemented that with other signals training later in your career?
No, I wasn't good enough on the Morse. I knew the Morse code quite well after 4 weeks, I can assure you. But I wasn't that good enough to listen, except just pick up very slight. No, I would have done another 2 more months to have been really proficient, I think. But I did enjoy it.
So you went up to the Argyles?
Yes.
What happened then?
I went to the 5th Battalion of the Argyles, who were not machine gun, actually. I don't know why. Some of the Argyles were, but we weren't. And I was there. We were doing general battalion training for the 3 months I was there. I went on 2 courses while I was there. One was aircraft recognition, which I was utterly hopeless at. No good at all. I'm trying to think what the other one was. A second course. But the other one, I can't remember what it was now. Funny. But one was in Edinburgh and one was in North Berwick. The other frightening thing I did, it was frightening, to go on the motorcycle as a sort of assault trial course, which we had to go on, 2 officers, another chap, myself. Everybody had to go in time. One of the most frightening things of my whole life, going over some of these things, coming down. We weren't very proficient on motorbikes. We just learned how to ride a motorbike, no more than that, at Octu, and it was a terrifying experience. Later on, when I had to ride a motorbike for a bit in the army in Scotland, I suppose I could say the training course I did help me, because I was reasonably proficient on the motorbike. Yeah.
How long did you stay with that battalion?
I was there 3 months, June to September, yes, 1941. I was then posted to a young soldiers battalion which was based in Broughty Ferry. A company I went to was at Auchtermachty in Fife, and I joined them in September the 8th, 1941. Young soldiers were all quite young, as you know, and we did a lot of training, a lot of route marches. It was a fairly routine sort of life, but I wasn't unhappy there. And we were there from, September. I was there from September until the whole company moved up to north of Dundee at a place called Kirkton of Teeling, where a new airfield had just been built, brand new airfield. The trouble with the airfield was I think the runway was all right, but there were no roads, really, and you had to walk through mud and everything throughout the winter months to get anywhere. And we were there on and off from February, or March it was, I think, 1941, right through till I left them to go abroad in, was it September or October, 1941. Highlight of our time there was in April, when we were told we got to form a Guard of Honour. And the Guard of Honour was for Molotov, flying from Russia to the States, the first time he'd ever been out from Russia. They went to Teeling Airport because it was unknown. It was so new. All he did was to land there. They were refueled and they went straight on to the States. He addressed us all in a few words, which were translated to us. But what we got up every other morning, another officer and I alternately, for about a fortnight. And believe you me, 6 o'clock on an April morning in Scotland is bitterly cold. Anyway, I think it was my turn when he came, but everybody turned out to see him in the end. And that was quite a notable experience to have been on a Guard of Honour for Molotov.
So you were there until you joined, until you were posted to SOE?
Yes. No. 41 September, October, I went abroad to the 4th Black Watch in Gibraltar. I was not the one due to go, but at the last moment, the chap due to go was found not to be fit. So I went at very short notice to go aboard to Gibraltar. I got to the port embarkation office at Greenock or Gorick, I can't remember which it was, and the chap, the embarkation officer said, "Or Ewing." "Yeah. Are you any relation of the Hugh Or Ewing I was at school with?" I said, "Yes, my father." And he said, "You're not on the list at all to go. Do you want to go?" I said, "Yes, I'll go if you've got me on the list." So I went, but I could have lost myself then, I suppose. I was put in touch with a crowd of Rimi. Never heard of Rimi, they were new. And I'm in charge of 30 or 40 Rimi. I got to Gibraltar. Nobody knew anything about me. The adjutant of the Black Watch, I was told there was a battalion of the Black Watch there. I went to the adjutant, Chap Paul McFarlane. "Said anything about you or Ewing? Would you like to join us?" I said, "Yes, thank you very much, I'll join you." So that's how I got in with the 4th Black Watch. I was with the 4th Black Watch from then, in November, until the end of April 42. They were a battalion, Dundee's own, 4th Battalion, who had a territory, of course. They come out of Dunkirk, 48 hours leave, 40, and then shipped to Gibraltar. No leave for 2.5 years when I got there. No leave at all. Their morale was very, very low. The only way you could get out from the Rock, first was temporarily to go on a course in Britain, and a few did that. Secondly, to get DTs, and a couple of officers got DTs. One had gone when I got there, he'd just gone there. He used to put his pips on his pyjamas when he was in hospital. I never met him. He came with a very famous family in Scotland, so I won't say any more. He was there. But when I got there, they just got a new colonel. The last colonel, fine, I never met him, but the only possible promotion was you had to play bridge with the colonel for a start, really, and there was no other promotion, really, at all. But the new colonel who came, a young chap called Beryl Innes, he was very good young officer in his upper 30s, battalion commander. And there were two or three of us who came out like me. I was the only one together, but two came later. And we were terribly, he welcomed us tremendously as very young, energetic officers, because he was very keen. He made all the officers go for a run everybody go for a run on Saturday mornings, and that to some of our old-time, middle-aged, territorial officers was quite a thing. So I quite enjoyed my 5 months in Gibraltar. Others were miserable. We had quite a lot of sport, marvellous hockey on the Naval Officers Pavilion field. We played a lot of five and six side hockey on tennis courts, and it was a very good game. They did a lot of cross-country running, which I didn't like, and I didn't do much of that. But also, tremendous interest in the football. The Fourth Black Watch had a first-class football side. I think they, 3 years, they lost 12 matches in all their time. They're playing every weekend. My platoon commander was the centre forward. He scored more goals with his head than with his feet. Two or three of them were playing for Scottish League clubs, you see. So we had everybody turned out to see the football on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon in Gibraltar. And it was a very good tonic, I think, for everybody there. So, though most people were pretty miserable, I wasn't unhappy there. I was there just, found out I met up with the chap I'd been at school with, who was my exact contemporary at school, was with the 4th Devonshires. So, you know, it wasn't bad at all. Yeah.
So you were there for 5 months?
5 months, yes.
And then where did you go from there?
Came back in April, and then had some leave, I don't know how much, I can't remember. And then we went for a month or so to St Andrews. That was absolute bliss. It was midsummer. We were by the golf course. We had the courtesy of the golf course. 10 officers of the company had a handicap of 10 or better. We played matches against the Air Force. We played matches against the club, made a match against, as you know, and you go out for a game of golf at 8 o'clock at night and get round, you know. It was a lovely time there. I mean, very keen golf. I thoroughly enjoyed it there, and all of us did. We then came down to Earth, and we were posted up to Caithness, where the Doom Ray reactor is, and for opening up what was called a battle school there, to get the people fit and all the, you know, all the field craft and everything like that. When you were on a battle school, you may have heard it, you ran everywhere. And for 3 months, I ran everywhere for 3 months. Were we fit? But in the meanwhile, I'd gone to a divisional battle school down right in the Highlands, down quite near Granton-on-Spay, and done the month's course there. And so I was instructor on the battle school. And that was very enjoyable, really, very enjoyable. We went out once, as far as I remember, into Thurso one evening, but otherwise we were on the job. I'd never fed so well in my life. We had unlimited fruit and vegetables from the guard of the Lord of the Manor, who was at the war. We had the fish, were marvellous mackerel caught us by the Navy. Every other day they went out. The mushrooms were quite amazing there. We ate, and Lipton's only came once a month to remove the butter and everything, so we had unlimited butter. We had a lovely time. I mean, I never fed as well in my life as I did there. People think, of course, they're down south, they were having it tough. But for us, because of transport thing, we had as much food as we wanted. I enjoyed it immensely. And we were very fit. And then,
can you, I'll just roll back a tiny bit. Can you remember the specifics of the battle course? What kind of duties did you actually have? What were you teaching?
Well, you taught people very much how to take targets by going around the back and for flanking and all that sort of thing. That was one of the great things. And learning to make front attack to hold them, and other people went in the flanks to the left or right. That was one of the great things about the battle school. And everybody was so fit, of course. Everybody was very fit. And you are fit when you're running all the time. Just, you never walked.
So after that, after battle course?
Well, after battle course, there was an advert. I suppose it was in the, I don't know whether it was the battalion thing or what it was, news, calling for volunteers for working with enemy troops overseas. This will involve parachuting behind the lines. And the two fellow instructors with me, we were all three lieutenants. They were dead keen to go. I wasn't so keen to go, but I thought, well, I can't leave my name out. So when they put their names in, I put my name in. And we were all called for interview to go all the way from Caithness, right down to Bletchley. It was a long time way there by train. And as we got to... Now, we went down, had the interview at Bletchley, and the three of us, one of Nick Dormer, who was a good friend of mine, very keen to go. Oh, loved to go. And another chap called Gilmore, David Gilmore, also very keen. Not such a good soldier, quite honest, as Nick Dormer. And myself. And I didn't show myself particularly keen in my interview at all. When it came, the only person to turn down was Nick Dormer. David Gilmore and I were both accepted. So off we went. And that was in... Oh, we met the colonel on the way back. "What are you three doing here?" "We've been down for an interview to Bletchley, sir." He said, "If I have anything to do it, you won't go." And but we did. And so we went and sailed in the end in September 1943.
Were you given any special training before you left?
None before we left at all, no.
And were there many of you when you were sent overseas? Was it quite a large, sizable group?
As far as I remember, there were only the three of us. There may have been others. I don't remember any others either. No.
And how did you sail overseas? What route did you take?
Oh, when we went out, we went to Alexandria, the first convoy through the Med, after Malta had been retaken. We were the first convoy through the Med. We weren't shelled or anything, but, having been to Malta, I realised how dicey it was for them. Having had a cousin who was one of the people in Malta, one of the pilots there. It was tough for them, very tough. But yes, we got through to Alexandria. Yeah.
And from Alexandria, you went.
Alexandria went by train to Cairo. Well, we're in Cairo. We got to Cairo, I remember very well. Went in Cairo on the 29th of September, 1943. It was very, very hot on the train, very hot. And we got to Cairo, and in due course, but it must have been 3 or 4 weeks, we went up to Mount Carmel to do the training course. And we were up there for, must have been 6 weeks or so, and then we did our parachute jumps anyway, which finished on Christmas Day, and so however long it was, we were up on Mount Carmel. And then our last... week 10, 6, 8 days or so outside Nazareth, a place called Ramat David, where we did our jumps. Yeah.
Again, what sort of specialist training was it received?
Specialist training. Well, it's explosives, how to use explosives, all about foreign weapons and everything. A lot of intelligence work too about countries, I think. I can't remember that quite honestly. I remember very much the foreign weapons, I remember very much the explosives. Those two very much indeed, yeah.
And did people fail the course? Do you know?
I don't know. Interesting, you see, while we were there, they were wanting to recruit people to go into France to the Mackie again, right out there. So they interviewed anybody who was interested. Well, though I'd done French at school anyway, at A level, I decided, dash it, I've got out here, I'm not trying to go back somewhere else again. So I didn't volunteer. Quite a number did. Small world, I met one of them in Calais when I was conducting a train to Calais afterwards, a chap called Parkinson. But several of them went off to go to the Mackie in France. I didn't, I stayed where I was. Yeah.
Had you been told much by that point about the sort of work that you could be doing? Or any idea of what countries you might be going to?
I think, honestly, my memory, I think we thought we were going to Greece. I think so. I can't absolutely remember. I don't think we were all going to Greece, no. We would have been going to Greece, to Crete, to Yugoslavia, possibly, I suppose, like Romania, etc. Not Italy, because Italy wasn't operative then. Those would have been the main ones, I think, yes. I don't know we actually knew I'm not sure. I certainly wasn't learning any language there or anything. No. Yeah. Yeah.